Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Prophecy Today. I'm here in Chillicothe, Illinois. What a great name. I love the name of that location. And as I've already mentioned, in temporary studios, we're doing the broadcast from here because we're going to have a three-day meeting. Well, actually, I guess it's 4 days, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Love to have you come study the prophetic word of God with us. Tell you about that a bit more at a later time in the broadcast. Today, we're bringing to the microphones here at the broadcast table Winky Madad. Winky's a longtime friend, a great broadcast partner, very knowledgeable of what's going on in Israel, and in particular from a political perspective. Now, the upcoming elections taking place on next Tuesday, September the 17th, are going to be key for the future of the Jewish state of Israel. So I thought I would bring Winky to analyze where it is right now before the elections and how that all comes together, reminding us of what the procedure is in electing a prime minister. That election's next Tuesday. What's the lay of the land right now? How does it look for both the Liberal Party and the right-wing party, and how the elections will come out on next Tuesday?
Well, Jimmy, first of all, let's remind our listeners that Israel has a parliamentary proportional representation system in which the entire country is one voting district, which is quite different from the United States, of course. That being the case, no one party is ever, and isn't never expected, actually, to gain the 61 votes majority out of the 120-seat Knesset. Therefore, we always have coalition politics from 2 to 7 parties sometimes joining up together to form a majority. The majority could reach into the 80s sometimes. I think it happened once with Menachem Begin, in which then the prime minister can present to the president saying, I have a majority, and he gets to set up the government, which is then voted in the first Knesset session available. We had elections a couple of months ago, Jimmy. We're doing it again. And my first comment is, there isn't a major difference between the voting blocks from the last elections, which means it's a strong possibility that Mr. Netanyahu will find it difficult, even though he has a plurality with all his votes for a specific party called the Likud and his potential coalition partners, but he will not be able to translate that plurality into a government without something happening very strange. And that's the first hurdle he must go over, because the key is Avigdor Lieberman, who's the head of a Russian party, well, a Russian representative party, shall I say, more accurately. And he is the key to jumping the hurdle of 61. And my final sentence on this part of the answer, he might force Netanyahu to go to a national coalition government, which would take in the largest party, in addition to him, from the other side, which is left of center.
Well, Avigdor Lieberman was the stick in the spokes of the bicycle last time, which really stopped Netanyahu from being able to form that coalition government, was he not?
Jimmy, you're absolutely correct. And he's still polling anywhere between 8 to 10 seats, on the average 9, which detracts from Netanyahu having the 61, because Lieberman broke away from Netanyahu. That's what caused the elections the last time, because they were early. Lieberman has developed over the past few years an antagonistic attitude toward Mr. Netanyahu. It's strange, because Lieberman, who has always portrayed himself as a strong on security, shooting Arabs or the leaders of the Hamas, to be more specific, and really hasn't done much, he might be, as you said, not only the spoke in the wheel, he could be the linchpin in forcing what Mr. Netanyahu does not want. He does not want an across-the-board national coalition. He wants to keep it in the right wing with the religious parties. He's more comfortable with that. So anything is open, including, Jimmy, mark my words, a strong attempt by Mr. Netanyahu to pull some people out of the Blue and White Party who were previously in the Likud. I know this is getting very complicated for our listeners, and try to break up Blue and White and bring four or five people over to the Likud and then be able to reach the 61 magic number.
Well, you let me restate your first answer so we make sure everybody's on the same page with us. This is not a direct election of a prime minister, but it's basically a vote for the members of the Knesset, who then, whatever party they may represent, has to be formed into a coalition government. That's correct, isn't it?
That's correct. We vote for what we call in Hebrew lists, which basically are parties. And if I can take your question one step further, it also means that potentially the parties will agree to put the Likud on top if another candidate other than Mr. Netanyahu assumes the position of prime minister. In other words, Jimmy, since Netanyahu has made himself a reputation among too many people in the political sphere, of course, not among the population, I will want to point out. In the political sphere, they'll say, listen, if Netanyahu wants to head the government, we're not joining. If Mr. Saar or Mr. Ardan or Mr. Katz would assume the prime minister's office and Mr. Netanyahu will step aside, Lieberman and maybe a few other people will say, we will support you.
Is there any chance that Netanyahu would step aside like that?
I don't think so, but he might be forced to.
And if indeed he is not going to follow through and step aside, allow somebody else to run as the slot for prime minister, could he, if he got the nod from President Rivlin, who determines who's going to have the first opportunity to try to form that coalition government, could Netanyahu put that coalition government together? And we've just talked about Avigdor Lieberman. Could he do it without Lieberman?
Jimmy, I'm reading the polls, and I'm no wiser than anybody else on this earth at this present moment, at least that I know of. If the polls hold as they are today, which is an if, Jimmy, it could be that I'll throw you a curveball, and our listeners too. It could be that Mr. Lieberman's poll rating of 9 is high because Likud people are saying, we'll vote for Lieberman, and on the day of the elections, they're going to vote for Likud, and he'll drop to 7, which would give the Likud more. It's also possible that one or two parties on the right or the left will not pass the threshold, as infamously Naftali Bennett's party did in the last elections. There are too many, at this point, Jimmy, unbeknowables, if I can call that that way, which is going to make it very difficult for anybody to call with really any certainty. All we can do is point to what could happen if the votes go this way or that way.
Well, suffice to say, it's going to be a very close race. And, of course, we're going to be in contact with Winky Madad next week to see how it's playing out and what the results were on Tuesday. Rinky, how important is this particular election for the Jewish State of Israel?
Jimmy, it's important because of two main factors. Number one, and I'll go America first, we have a very sympathetic presidential administration that will allow us to do things in the security field, technological field, and the diplomatic field that we could not do earlier. Start from the back, diplomatic field. Israel is going crazy, in a positive sense, in the Arab world. And I think that's considerably to the support of the United States, pressuring some of the Arab regimes to get their act together and work for their people and their country rather than for something called Palestinians in Palestine. Technologically speaking, Mr. Netanyahu is known as a great supporter of the high-tech industry and moving Israel into economies all over the world, and especially in Southeast Asia, South America, and other places. Security-wise, no one like Mr. Netanyahu has been right on Iran. That's why he clashed with Mr. Obama in the last administration. And if we need American support, Mr. Trump, I'm sure, will be able to give it to us like he did with Jerusalem and other issues. Anybody else does not have the stature, does not have the experience, and that has the charm. I'd even go charisma if I didn't want to get into theological trouble with you. Other issues that make him a standout prime minister, we would have to go back several degrees or several steps down in order to catch up with Mr. Netanyahu, something I would say we cannot afford to do at this time.
So indeed, this next election, very key to the future for the Jewish state of Israel. Just one quick thought. What about the statements by the Prime Minister of sovereignty for Judea and Samaria and for the Jordan Valley? Is that going to assist him in maybe getting over the top?
Not that much, Jimmy. It was treated with a bit of skepticism because they said, why didn't he do it earlier? He could have said, but he didn't want to, that he's working on it, Mr. Trump, and it's taking a long time because for over 50 years, no government has taken such a move, and because it would mean abruptly ripping up the Oslo Accords. And I don't think he's had enough of preparation of several supporting governments that possibly could do it, and that's why he came so late in the campaign. I think I've always told you in our program, he's moving in that direction. It's just according to his estimation, it's going to take a very long time to move the very heavy wheel back in the other direction.
One thing for sure, God has a plan for the Jewish state of Israel, and we can see down through history, biblical history, how God has used human government to accomplish his will. Do believe that will be the case this time as well. Would you agree with that, Winky?
I agree with that, and I think that's the way Mr. Netanyahu and many other of the right-of-center politicians are going and speaking and expressing themselves, both, as you say, in the political sense and the biblical prophetic sense. Sometimes, though, time has to play itself out. We're not a divine being in any sense, Jimmy. We can only do what we can do as men, and hopefully we can have some support from on high.
That's Winky Medad. He's one of our favorite broadcast partners, giving us his analysis of what the situation for the election next Tuesday, September the 17th, will be and how it will play out. Winky, thank you so very much. Great insight, buddy. We'll talk again real soon.
Jimmy, thank you for having me on the program, and goodbye to you and our listeners.